I'll be reading from John 13, verse 7. Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand."
You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. This verse brings up a lot of different emotions for people. Hope that things will get better. Trust that we know that God has a reason and a plan for all of this. But also frustration, because we want to understand now. We want good things to happen and we want to know when. All of these feelings are valid. When we think about all of the bad things that are going on in this world, even in this year alone, life can feel scary, like one bad thing after another, or control that we'll never be able to grasp hold of. I think of all the people who have opened up about their experiences with harassment. I think about the 1 in 3 women that will experience relationship violence and how that only accounts for romantic relationships. I think about all the people who are grieving, who have lost people, lost their homes, who have waited to find their significant other, who are in the midst of disability and illness and trauma. It's a lot to take in. The question then becomes, how do we hold on to the fact that things will get better? That there's a plan for all of this that's greater than we can conceptualize. Even simpler, how do we move on and keep going? You do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand. Jesus says this as he's washing the disciples' feet, knowing he will soon be crucified and that Judas will betray him. He washes their feet and says this because he loves them to the end. He washes their feet and makes them clean so they can have a part with him. He tells them to do the same to each other and know that they're all equals. I think his message to us is the same. He loves us. He wants us to be saved through him so we can be with him in heaven and help save other people. He wants to show us that he is one of us, a human that too has suffered. He wants to give us hope. Amidst all of these worldly issues, he wants us to know that one day we will understand his plan and why it was better. We will realize why he pushed through having to watch us suffer, because when we hurt, he hurts too. One of the main things I've learned about God, and the most important thing, is how incredible his love for us is. Every time we turn away from him, we get mad at him, he's still there and chases after us. As Romans 8:38 says, absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God. And as the song How He Loves says, God is jealous for us. His love is the hurricane and we are the tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. But at the same time, I know what it's like to feel separated from God, to not trust his plan or understand his reasoning or fathom how he could let such an awful thing happen. Thankfully, though, he turned my life around with a quote that says, "Waiting to go to the Lord until you've got your life cleaned up is like waiting to go to the ER when you stop bleeding." He doesn't love some future version of us. He loves us in our mess. Despite this revelation, I still wanted something good to come out of the pain I was feeling, and I wanted it now. I had heard that suffering makes us stronger and future problems easier to handle, and I was like, cool, awesome. But no, that didn't seem enough, didn't seem fair. Again, though, God reminded me that something good had indeed happened. I had made good friends and was able to realize how true of friends they really were. Had I not joined advocacy organizations or opened up to my friends about my dark experiences, I wouldn't have met them, nor would I have realized the vastness of the beauty they had and how God gave them that beauty to give to me. Furthermore, I was reminded of God's grace when the first anniversary of that experience arrived and I got through it just fine. While I often forget this, those moments of peace and being okay were from God and God alone. As John 1:5 says, there was light in the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it. As powerful as the devil's grip on us can feel, and as hopeless as life can feel, God's hands are on us, and we are stronger in his hands and can overcome it. This holds true for the duration of suffering and the calming of the waves after. As Genesis 50:20 says, while others may intend to harm us, he intends it for the accomplishment of many great things, the saving of many lives. This is because, as God proclaims to us in Jeremiah 29:11, his plans are not to harm us, but to give us hope and a future. With prosperity and light, while we may suffer trauma and loss and grief, God's plan is so much bigger than that. It's filled with prosperity and hope and light overcoming darkness and his overwhelming grace. He can turn the worst things into such pure beauty. It's our job to see that. I saw a post the other day that said, replacing "why is this happening to me" with "what is this trying to tell me" has been a game changer. That is the understanding that he promises us in John 13:7. Understanding that our anger shows us that we deserve and can have better. That our grief shows us that God does give us good things and people and experiences. The song "Beautiful Things" describes this perfectly. God is so powerful that he can make beautiful things out of the dust. Out of trauma and shame and loneliness and grief and nothingness comes beauty. If we open our eyes, we'll see that all around, hope is springing up, that despite the chaos, life is being found in him. Through God, we are made strong and we are made new. In one of my favorite slam poems, "Today Means Amen," which I encourage you all to listen to, Sierra DeMolder says this: "We are exactly where we are supposed to be. Nothing would be the same if we did not exist. Even when we feel more cracked than mosaic, we got here. We made it. Through the hurt and the rocks and the mornings that arrived in pieces, we made it. The hurt is over, and today means amen." Lastly, I find my hope in that I'm happily overwhelmed with so many examples and verses that God gives us to remind us how much he shares, how much he loves us, and gives us all the reason in the world to hope. I think of how the Bible says 365 times to not fear. As we go through situations that are scary and confusing and difficult, may we remember Joshua 1:9, which says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not have fear or be troubled. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So while we may not realize what God is doing or how we will get through it, later we will understand. We will overcome.